Stillman and Company, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on The Game Nashville app. Chase McKay, Mark Howard, in for Jared Stillman today, presented by TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with five-star service. We get back into the Predators here in just a few minutes. We're going to bring on Adam Vingan of The Athletic. He has written an article that is titled, David Poile and the Predators Need to Accept Reality and Start the Rebuild Now. This comes on the heels of a 4-2 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes last night at Bridgestone Arena. We say hello to Adam Vingan. Adam, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I am doing well and appreciate you taking the time to join us today. And like many people that follow and cover this team, I read your piece earlier this morning on this, and it is the unfortunate reality that, you know, all good things must come to an end. This team experienced franchise highs a few years ago, but as David Poile has referenced many times when he's come on our show, Darren Donick and Chase, for his weekly on Tuesdays at 11:15, that was 4 years ago. And where this team is now is at a completely different place. And you wrote about it, of it is time to start the rebuild. It is time to sell off some of the current players and get assets and hit the reset button. So what's kind of some of the reaction that you've gotten from Preds fans to your piece?
The reaction so far has been, I was going to say overwhelmingly positive, but I mean, it's a negative story, right? I think the reaction in the comment section, last time I checked, I was nearing 100 comments. I think everybody's in agreement, at least those who read the story and chose to comment on it. I think the fan base is where I'm at. I do not need to see anything. There's nothing else for me to see about this team that will convince me that they are going in the right direction. And I referenced your interview with David in the story, specifically when he talked about the upcoming stretch of games, the two-week road trip, and how after that road trip, you know, he might have a clear idea of what needs to happen. I say there's no need to wait that long. Waiting that long would be a waste of time. This team is going nowhere, in my opinion. And I wrote a story on Monday, sort of a how-to guide to rebuild. And I talked to two former assistant GMs in the league with practical experience. And, you know, one of the things I was told by one of those assistant GMs is that the longer an organization delays the inevitable, it digs itself into a deeper hole. And I think the Predators could only do harm by not acting now. So what I think they need to do is they need to start lining up the suitors for the players on their team that they'd like to trade. And I think they need to start shipping out bodies, sooner rather than later. As I wrote in the article, in blunt terms, it's over. There will be no championship for this particular group, and it's the organization for the betterment of the franchise for now and in the future needs to accept that reality.
So, in your opinion, Adam, you've written what they should do. Do you think that they will? Do you think that David Poile, and I believe that he knows where his team is at. They're going to say things, but he knows deep down where they're at. Do you think that they will start this process sooner rather than later?
I can't say for sure, but for their sake, I hope that's what they decide to do. You have to think about, as you discussed with him, earlier in the week, you know, the challenges that this particular trade deadline presents, specifically when it comes to crossing the border. If there is a Canadian team that's interested in one of these players, and Mikhail Granlund has been linked by many people, including The Athletic, to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So that is one thing you have to consider. You know, I look at a player like Matthias Ekholm. We had on The Athletic on Monday our NHL trade deadline big board. He's number one on our list. You know, he has 3 goals in his past 3 games. He's playing hard. He's playing with emotion. His value has never been higher. You need to strike while the iron is hot. And You know, I am hoping that by watching last night's game, David Poyle, despite what he said to you the other day, has changed course. Like I said, there is absolutely no need to wait until that road trip is over in a couple of weeks to make a decision. Like I said, nothing that I have seen from this team indicates that they are going to suddenly find their game against Carolina, Tampa, and Florida. And then you throw in the fact that Ryan Ellis is out for at least a month, that Luke Cunningham is out for at least 2 weeks, that Ryan Johansson is out for an undetermined amount of time, that UC Soros is day-to-day. You know, we saw what this lineup looked like without them. It wasn't very good. So I just think that it's time for them to come to grips with the situation. This is not a playoff team. And this, you know, the only thing that has not been changed over the past several years is the core group of players. And I think the right thing to do would be to start dismantling that group.
We're speaking to Adam Vingan, of course, who covers the Predators for The Athletic. And Adam, I thought it was a great column. Are the Predators also paying a little bit for their failure to develop more young players like some of the elite teams? You know, we haven't seen that pipeline from Milwaukee really help them very much in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yes, I do think, Mark, that that is one symptom of this. And in that piece I referenced, that I wrote on Monday, one of the GMs I spoke to, one of the assistant GMs I spoke to, was Mike Fiuta, who worked for the Los Angeles Kings from 2007 to 2020. He began as the director of amateur scouting and eventually ascended to the assistant GM role. Now works as an analyst for Sportsnet in Canada. And we talked about the rebuild that the Kings underwent 13, 14 years ago. And, you know, looking at their draft record, you know, over a five-year stretch from like 2005 to 2010, you know, they found some really good players. Braden Schenn, Wayne Simmons, Tyler Toffoli, Alec Martinez, Kyle Clifford, Trevor Lewis. And the thing about that was they were able to develop so many homegrown, talented players that they were able to trade some of them, specifically Simmons and Schenn, in a deal with the Flyers in 2011 to acquire Mike Richards, who played a big role in their two Stanley Cups in 2012 and 2014. And we've seen the Predators try that. We've seen them trade a first-round pick for Cody Franzen and Mike Santarelli. We've seen them trade a first-round pick for Ryan Hartman. We've seen them trade Kevin Fiala for Mikhail Granlund. We've seen them trade Samuel Girard as part of a package for Kyle Turris. We've seen them trade a second-round pick for Brian Boyle. And none of those moves had the desired impact, and they depleted their resources. And when you combine that with the fact that, quite frankly, the Predators, through no fault of their own, have never been so bad that they're picking in the top five or having the number one pick. It's been 8 years since they picked in the top five. You know, they haven't been bad enough to get that generational player like the Capitals did in 2004 with Alex Ovechkin and then 2 years later with Nick Backstrom. You know, which ultimately, you know, 12 years down the road led to a Stanley Cup. So, yeah, that is my long-winded way of saying their inability to develop elite forward specifically has played a role in this.
Let me ask you, you know, David Poyle is inscrutably honest. We all know that, a very honorable man. But do you think maybe he's manipulating the market a little bit by saying he might wait until after the road trip to maybe get other teams who want to acquire some of his players a little more anxious, maybe drive the price up a little bit?
Oh, yeah, that certainly could be part of it. You know, there is gamesmanship involved in being a general manager. You know, maybe he wants to make his players a bit uncomfortable. Maybe he wants to drive up the price. But you know, I think of a player like Mattias Ekholm specifically, like his value is very high right now. You know, God forbid Mattias were to get hurt again and be out for a significant period of time. You know, you don't want to, you know, potentially risk that asset, you know, being damaged. So, yeah, I mean, I would certainly not discount that idea. But, you know, hopefully you know, over the next couple of weeks, if this thing doesn't turn around, you know, you start seeing some familiar players headed out the door.
Adam, Askarov, I guess, is a couple years, 2 years, 3 years, maybe max away. So I factor that into a rebuild of the timetable. But in your opinion, how long does the rebuild need to take?
Well, that's up to the Predators, because we've seen multiple examples of rebuilds. Think about the Buffalo Sabres. They've been in a rebuild for 10 years. They haven't made the playoffs. They're going to miss the playoffs again this year. There's talk about Jack Eichel possibly being traded. You look at the LA Kings, you know, they took, you know, they tore things down, and I think, 2006, and it took them until 2012 to win a Stanley Cup. The Capitals rebuilt, you know, in 2005, 2006, and it took them until 2018 to win a cup, albeit they were a great regular season team for most of that time, but they weren't able to get over the hump. You know, one of the things that I was told in that article I've been referencing is that there's no easy fix, and a team attempting to cheat the process by circumventing that length of time only extends the process further. So, you know, if this team is committed to rebuilding, I mean, I think you're talking about at least 5 years without playoffs, or at least 5 years, you know, perhaps where you're on the periphery, maybe you sneak into the playoffs one time. Like, think about the New York Rangers, you know, last season, albeit they were helped by the extended playoff format. But, you know, most rebuilds take at least 4 to 5 years. So I think you're looking at a 4 to 5 year window with this team not being as competitive as it has been over the past several years.
Okay, so Adam, go ahead, Mark, and then I'll.
I was going to ask him, how does John Hines figure into this, and ownership probably not wanting to pay, you know, more than one coach at a time?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good question, and the Predators the Capitals took the Predators off the hook for the remainder of Pierre Laviolette's contract when they hired him. So, but you're right in terms of, you know, what it means for John Hines, who's under contract through the end of next season. You know, honestly, I believe John Hines, like, this is my personal opinion. I don't want to be radioed, as Elliot Freeman says. I personally believe that John Hines is, his future is intricately tied with David Poile. I think whatever might happen with David, if there's a change in that position, I think that might determine what happens with John, specifically because of how quickly they hired John after dismissing Peter. So, you know, look, one thing I was told, again, to reference that article, that, you know, a lot of the people, when a rebuild starts, a lot of the people being tasked with that rebuild aren't going to be there when the plan hopefully comes to fruition. And, you know, whether John Hines is the coach after this season, you know, Chase knows this. I am now a water-carrying Hines apologist, because I wrote a story a few weeks ago in which I said that John was doing the best he could with the roster he was given. Not to say that John is beyond reproach, but I feel like coaching is not the main issue with this team. But I think John's future is tied with David's.
All right, Adam, as we wrap this up, you've mentioned Ekholm, but I'm going to hit you with a few others. Philip Forsberg, if in your timetable of 4 to 5 years, and Philip Forsberg in his prime now, and is, you know, hopefully going to even get a little bit better, his contract would need to be addressed starting this offseason, because there'd be 1 year left. Is he a part of this, or do you believe some of the national pundits that say he could be available?
I mean, I don't think the team is really ruling anything out. You know, Roman Josi has a full no-movement clause, so unless he wants to go somewhere, he's staying put. You know, I do not foresee Pekka being traded, especially with the news of UC Saros, especially because of the sentimental value that Pekka has. Ryan Ellis was mentioned by Elliot Freeman in the untouchable group, but now he's injured. So that might take him off the market, even if he was available. I really do think that everybody else, you know, I think it's important that I don't believe the Predators are actively shopping Philip Forsberg, but I don't think they are, you know, hanging up the phone if somebody were to ask. And that's really a question for Phillip, because, you know, when you think about his value to this particular team, I mean, he's worth more than Ryan Johansson and Matthew Shane. So that's at least $8 million. Like, could I see Phillip Forsberg commanding a cap hit of $8.5 to $9 million? Yes, I could. And, you know, one, will the Predators be able to afford him with the other contracts they have? And two, does Phillip, as you said, does he want to be around for that? You know, that's something that he would have to ultimately determine. But if the Predators feel like they wouldn't be able to get him under contract or their cap situation, it will prevent them from paying him, then absolutely they should listen and see if there's something worth pursuing.
And you answer the other one with Ryan Ellis as well. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks. Great article, and we appreciate the time.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Adam Bingen of The Athletic, and you can follow his work there. And again, the piece that he put out there, David Poile and the Predators need to accept reality and start the rebuild now. Mark and I will talk a little bit more about that, but we want your reaction. And I think I know how most of you feel, but if the rebuild starts now, you know, how patient are you willing to be as they go through this process? 615-737-1025. You can call or text on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll come back with more here on Stillman & Company, ESPN 1025 The Game. When you hear national pundits talk about the Predators, the word rebuild comes up quite a bit with selling off assets and starting over and things like that. How do you respond to that when you hear that talk? When it's still, even though a condensed season, still relatively early?
I try not to respond to that.
That's how I thought especially you would go.
Especially to the media, but I get it. There's nothing to hide here. We've talked about this. Our team has had a great run, highlighted by the Stanley Cup Finals, but that was, you know, 3 years ago. And we've had I think we've been a good team the last 2 years, but not as good as we were at our peak. And so, you know, there's a little bit of decline. Obviously, the start of the season, we were perfect fodder for any conversation as to trades and a rebuild. And, you know, that's going to continue until we either climb higher in the standings or we actually make a trade. So I get it. The trading deadline is April 12th. I just said earlier that you pointed out is that I think this next stretch of games with playing against the Carolinas, Floridas, and Tampa Bay are really going to, you know, show us whether we're one of the top teams in our division, whether we're a playoff team or possibly that we're not. And I would think maybe, you know, what you asked me or what I'm talking about now may be a more appropriate question when we get back off of this road trip.
David Poile yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase, my usual show. He joins us every Tuesday at 11:15 talking about rebuilding. And when people ask about that or bring that up with the Nashville Predators, and, you know, he brought up, like I said, too, you know, after 4 or 5 against Detroit and Columbus, you feel good. Like, hey, they're winning again. You're seeing them play better. They're playing the best that they've played all year, all of that. But then what does it look like against the good teams? What does it look like against the Carolinas and the Tampas and in Florida, like you're going to see over the next couple of weeks? And I get it. He wants to see that too as the general manager before making any rash decisions. But as we just talked about with Adam, you look at the overall body of work with this team and what's happening this year, it tells you that it's time to go ahead and do it. So we're taking your reaction to that, 615-737-1025 on our text line or our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And we talked about it earlier, Mark, Chase McCabe, Mark Howard in for Jared Stillman, that, you know, and Adam referenced it too, the longer you wait, the harder it is to start the process. And I'm at the point, and I was one of those, I'm always glass half full. I was one of those, okay, let's see how it plays out. Let's get the season going. You haven't had a training camp under John Hines, a full training camp yet. Now I'm at that point too, where this is what it is, and this team is what it is, and it's time to look back at the memories from a few years ago and move on into the future and start the process.
Listen, it's, you know, cycle of sports life. I mean, it really is. You knew at some point this franchise was going to reach this. And it's like Adam said, trading off a lot of those draft assets over the years has come home to roost for the Predators. The cupboard isn't bare, but it certainly is sparse. And now the Predators have to get back into a mode where they've got draft picks and prospects. That's got to be the goal driving this franchise. And hopefully more than a few of them can make it back onto the big team and fuel this rebuilding initiative. It doesn't have to be a total, you know, a total rebuild, a total wrecking ball deal. You look at what the Blackhawks did, where they kept Toews, Kane, and that core. And obviously the Blackhawks are cycling back up a little bit. Duncan Keith, obviously part of that. They've had to shed some contracts, but teams like that, you know, maybe keep their core and you just, you know, draft effectively because you've got your assets. And that's something the Predators are going to have to do. You know, we all got excited in years past at the trade deadline, hoping for that one addition that could mean something. And that has absolutely worked against the Predators. I mean, I don't need to talk about the litany of failed deadline trades, but hey, you know, you give David Poile points for at least trying. I think he's got to be a major seller, and I agree with Adam. He's got to start now. I don't think anything in the next couple of weeks is going to tell him anything differently about his team, especially with Ryan Ellis out and the likelihood that he's not going to have Johansson around, and who knows with UC Saros. So just do it.
Yeah, and I mean, on those trade deadline acquisitions, I mean, it's at least he didn't stand at the plate and strike out with the bat on his shoulders. He swung and it didn't work. So that's the price of doing business. That's the price of going for it. But I agree, you have to rebuild through the draft. Now, the question is, somebody like Philip Forsberg, he's young enough that he could be a part of the rebuild, that he could be, you know, the one of the bright spots through it all. Roman Josi, too. And you referenced the Blackhawks with Toews and Kane and Keith. They didn't really have a choice with those guys. I mean, it's kind of like what the Predators are in now with some of these contracts, that they're so rich for other teams that the return is just not there for other teams to make the trade. And that's the tough part of where David is with a Johansson or a Duchesne, even though he was signed a couple of years ago. And so you have to ask the question, you know, do you want to make an investment in Forsberg knowing that you're going to be building around him with a couple of pieces from this current core? But, you know, and does he want to do that? That's the other part of it. Does Philip want to be a part of that, knowing what it's going to look like? And that's going to be a tough part of the decision-making, you know, not this summer, but here in the next few weeks.
And the other part of this, Chase, that frustrates you a little bit, is you wonder now if Nashville will revert back to being, you know, the franchise that guys don't want to go to. I mean, it took so long until it became a desired destination. And I know players that left this team via free agency that ripped the organization and ripped the city and felt like it was a huge negative. And then you had Matt Duchesne wanting to come here. It was his preferred destination. You know, how are free agents going to feel about Nashville if they're in a rebuilding mode? Well, the city sells itself, and usually the building does. So I might be answering my own question. I think they're still going to want to play here.
Yeah.
This organization is run in a much different manner than it was 10 years ago. And they go top shelf with everything now. Make no mistake about it. But whatever the case, yeah, you wonder if that perception is going to change.
Yeah, and I understand why you'd bring that up, but I think that the organization, like you said, and the decision making, you know, the how they go about making decisions in the last, you know, 12 to 10 years should tell free agents like, hey, you know, yeah, even though they're rebuilding, they went to the Stanley Cup final in 2017. I mean, this organization has shown that they can hang and they can compete. Do they have the cup to show for it? No, but it's the hardest trophy in sports to win. They have been there. They have been in the mix. And so I do believe that once they come out on the other side of this process, you'll see free agents go, yeah, the Predators, that's an organization that I want to be a part of. The city of Nashville is where I want to be. So I'm not as concerned about that as maybe I would have been, you know, in the past, because I think that everybody behind the scenes does a tremendous job making this a desirable place.
Well, and then the other thing the Preds did was they beefed up their support staff, whether it's trainers, whatever. They're staying in better hotels on the road. I'm telling you, that makes a difference. And that left an impression on players before. So things like that have really heightened the profile of the Predators, you know, within the league, and has made them even more desirable.
A lot of you want to weigh in on the text line. We will do that when we come back. The Predators and a rebuild. Where are you on it? 615-737-1025. We'll take your texts and your calls as well. Chase McKay, Mark Howard in for Jared Stillman today on Stillman & Company, ESPN 1025 The Game. Tune in to Robbie and Rex Road every weekday morning at 8:45 when the Preds have a weekday game this season for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack. Brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning, so be sure to check that out. It's Stillman and Company, but no Stillman today. He's on vacation for the rest of the week. Chase McKay, Mark Howard in for him, taking your calls and your texts on the Predators and a rebuild. 615-737-1025, and we have a ton of texts to get to and a couple of calls as well. Tom in Nashville says, breaking up the core has to go beyond Ekholm, and the fringe players must be deleted to allow the youth to play full-time. Fringe such as Grimaldi, Yarncroak, and Sissons. Time is now. So I hear what you're saying, because the youth movement is a phrase that has come up quite a bit. But you also have to look at things from value. Unfortunately, players, they are numbers. They have value attached to them. So how much value can you really get with those fringe players, even though I understand wanting to clear the way for some of these young guys to come in? Somebody like Ekholm, and even rental players like a Mikhail Granlund or an Eric Halla, they're going to get you more than some of these guys that you've mentioned, like Grimaldi, Yarncroak, Sissons, that have time left on their contracts.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, that's... You're just not going to get a whole lot for your bottom six. It's just right. unless it's a veteran, you know, who's had a great career, you know, like a Wayne Simmons or somebody like that. Kind of interesting that Simmons was suddenly enjoying a renaissance in Toronto before he got hurt, because he just didn't do anything here. But anyway, you're not going to. You're right, Chase. You're not going to get a whole lot for your bottom six.
Now, here's an interesting one, because as I've read through some of these, pretty much everybody is, you know, in the boat of go through the rebuild. But and make sure you include your name when you text in at 615-737-1025. One texter says, leave the Predators alone for now. Last night they outplayed the second best team in the league for two periods. There's definitely some hope and promise, and they just responded with, I really think there's enough talent there that there's no reason they can't turn out quality teams without having to go broke and be losers for 5 years. Chicago, Mark, as you reference, is doing it without a complete teardown.
Well, I don't think the reason why the Blackhawks have taken 5 years to come back is because they kept, you know, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, and Duncan Keith. Their goaltending has been on and off, for the most part. And their blue line, you know, beyond Duncan Keith, has not been very good. So that's not the reason that has held up the Blackhawks. But you can get into a perpetual situation like Buffalo, you know, who, mm-hmm. you know, has some good players, but, you know, never make the playoffs. So I wouldn't look at it that way. And if you thought the Predators outplayed Carolina for two of the three periods, you weren't watching the same game I was. They played well in the third period, but they were chasing them. They were down 3-0.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear about how great they played. They were down 3-0. They routinely have trouble scoring. You have the stats in front of you, and I don't think that's going to change. I'm pretty sure they're not going to change. And even if they play well for the next 2 weeks, I still think they've got an opportunity here with some players whose contracts are about to run out, to get something for them on the trade market. And I think they ought to avail themselves of that opportunity.
I think it's very easy to get caught up in the, well, you win 4 out of 5. And so there we go. And we had the discussion of, are they truly turning the corner? And, all three of us on the midday show said, no, you got to see them against the good teams before you can say they're turning the corner. David Poile said, got to see what the next couple of weeks look like before I can truly say that we've turned the corner. And I'll use the analogy, in school, number one, I wasn't a great student because I wanted to just focus on other things, but math was always something that I struggled at. And I would have the mindset sometimes of I'd actually break through and do well on a math test. And I'd think, hey, there we go. I'm back at it. I'm going to ace the next one. And then I'd fail it. That happens. You get that false sense of hope of, all right, things are going to go well again. And you also have to accept reality. And that was, with this team and talking about this team, that's been tough for me. I've been like, hey, maybe there are signs that, because I've seen what some of these guys have done before, that they're going to turn around and do it again. But at some point, you have to have the come to reality and go, well, they are what they are. And now you got to try and make it better for the future. And the future doesn't necessarily mean next month or next year. It's going to be a process. And so that's why we're having this conversation right now.
And to what Adam Vingan said, and I agree with him, that it doesn't really matter what you see in the next 2 weeks from this team. Honestly, you've got to understand that you've reached a juncture now in the process where you've got to trade. You've got to trade some guys. You've got to get some young assets or draft assets because you've got that opportunity. You look at this team, and even at its best, I don't see it, maybe winning, one series in the postseason, but I really don't see that. I just think there's too much of a gulf between them and the good teams in the Central. And if you don't see that, then I think you're kind of in denial.
Here's what I think, or this comes from Shane in Ashland City. He says, here's what I think. Forsberg, Granlund, Duchesne, Tolvanen, Ekholm, Ellis, Yossi, Trinan, Fabro, and Rene stay. Everyone else is fair game. I feel like changing the environment, including the coach, around these players will bring out the best. And to add to my last text, why are we only good in the third period? I think that's a very important situation to figure out. Is it the players or is it the coach because we're always behind or what? From Shane in Ashland City.
Well, first of all, Shane, your list is way too long.
Yeah.
And I don't think the coach is the main culprit here. I think you've got to trade Grantland. I think you can get something for him, among others. Between Ekholm and Grantland, I think they can do pretty well. And even somebody like Eric Holla, you can mm-hmm. probably get a mid to maybe late draft pick. That depends, maybe more. But the other point here is that a lot of times when you're behind, in the third period, it's going to be the team that's behind that is sort of driving the puck possession because teams play, a little bit more defensive oriented, and they're fine a lot of times with letting the other team have the puck. And you'll see that often. People who study analytics often say this, especially when a team's down 2 or 3 goals. A lot of times the other team is going to let them control the puck a little more.
Yeah, and to your point on the value of what you can get, because Granlund is on his list to keep, Granlund, Ekholm, Ellis, who knows, obviously with injury, that takes him off the market right now. But I remember the Predators giving up a first-round pick for Paul Gostad. And Paul Gostad is not worth a first-round pick. At the time, though, when you need that...
He's a face-off specialist.
Right,
yeah.
He's a face-off specialist. But at the time, you have to pay whatever the price is. And so that's why it's important to do this now, because the price is going to go up. And you and Adam talked about the gamesmanship that's there, too, from David Poile. He is going to want, you know, if he goes into this and he sells off some of these guys, he wants to get the most he possibly can, the most return that he possibly can on these players. And I believe that Granlund and Ekholm, if he plays it right, could get him some first-round picks. I just simply do. All right, let's go back to the
phones.
That
would be nice.
Yes, it would. Absolutely. 615-737-1025. Bob is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bob, welcome in.
Thank you very much. I never want the Predators to lose. I hope they win as many games as you know they possibly can. However, I'm a realist, and I'm afraid the scary situation to me is that they'll be just inside or just outside a playoff spot, and because of that proximity, they might be reluctant to do some of these things that we've been talking about. I think that possible inactivity would be terrible and would have negative effects long term. I'd like to know how you guys feel about that statement.
Thanks for the call, Bob. Yeah, I mean, well, that's the tough part, Mark.
Well, but I'll tell you what. You know, I know in talking to Sean Henry through the years, you know, the Predators CEO, and, you know, I've always, you know, always mentioned to him about how, you know, remember they had that streak of sellouts and all that. And he said, our goal is, you know, if we don't win any home games, to sell out every one of them. Well, obviously, you know, he doesn't want that, but it would be it would be fascinating to see how the fan base would react. I think they could sell this team in transition as sort of a young, hardworking team that's going to play exciting hockey, maybe not a Stanley Cup favorite, maybe not even a playoff favorite, but for a year or two, I think this fan base would buy into that. I really do. And I think if they play hard, they might not always get the results. But at some point, just at some point, you know, you can't – it's very hard to sustain every year making the playoffs. And for a while, the Preds did a great job of doing that. But the credit card has come due. You know, you can only, you know, put so much on your credit card, and at some point you got to pay the bill. And they have with a lot of these draft choices. And now, you know, let's see what happens so they can go into their next phase. But I also think, too, the value of not trading Forsberg. And, of course, you know, they're not going to trade Yossi. And I just don't think they're going to trade Ryan Ellis, hurt or not. He's got, you know, too much of a workable contract. But I think, you know, by keeping the core and by bringing young players in, I think this is a team you can sell to your fan base if that's really the issue. I know ownership is very nervous about going into this stage because they envision worst-case scenario empty seats. But, you know, this is where the GM, this is where the scouting staff, the pro personnel staff, this is where they make their money.
Right. And I get it because this ownership group, since taking over, they've missed the playoffs three times since they've had it. I mean, I understand that. You know, they weren't around. They were fans. You know, some were fans, but they weren't in this role in the early days of building from scratch. And, you know, what David and Barry did in those days when they finally made the playoffs, I mean, they got on a run. And then 2008-2009, you know, they missed it after the sale of the team. But 2007-2008, that first year when they had sold everything off because they had gone for it the year before, they still made it. So I certainly understand that. But as you said earlier, this is sports. It's just the circle of the sports life. And every team, every organization goes through it at some point in time. We still have more of you that want to weigh in. We'll do that as we wrap up the 4 o'clock hour here on Stillman & Company. Chase McCabe, Mark Howard in for Jared today on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 615-737-1025. Chase McKay, Mark Howard in for Jared today. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll get back into the Titans and what they need to do in free agency. But taking your texts and your calls on the Predators and a potential rebuild. And it is interesting, Mark, reading through some of these texts of the, I guess, the mixed bag, because there are some people that, as we were just discussing, that still think, hey, they're right there, you know, couple wins away, get on a hot streak, and they'll be a playoff team. But the thing on that is, do you want to be a playoff team and just make an appearance to say you're a playoff team, or do you want to be a contender? And I just don't believe this team is a contender. I don't think they're a playoff team either, but I just, you gotta know when to try and sell and rebuild for the future. Drew in East Nashville says, selling makes your expansion draft a lot easier too. You have to make this summer easier on yourself. If you sell enough players, maybe you force Seattle to take one of your bad contracts by giving them no other option.
That is a brilliant assessment. It's something I was just going to say. If they do that, then maybe they can offload Johansson and start over again. You know, they've got to get rid of one of those bad contracts, which will allow them to re-sign Forsberg and move forward. But yeah, that's got to be part of the strategy too.
And Adam said earlier in the hour, 4 to 5 years when you talk about the timetable for a rebuild, but the sooner you start it, the faster it goes. And I do agree with that. So if you know, for instance, like Drew is saying, if you're able to sell off some of these right now before the season is over, and then you do a little bit more in the off season, and you're right, and you have some things to throw Seattle's way to say, hey, I'll give you this if you'll take Johansson's contract. That's been happening. You know, that's happened for years with expansion drafts. That puts you in a better position, because we know this team can spend. We know the ownership group is going to spend. And then you see what you have draft-wise, you bring in the prospects, you develop from within, and then you fill in the other holes with free agency. It can move a lot faster than just going through this, you know, what Buffalo's done. I don't believe it's going to be like that for the Predators as they start this.
But I get it. You know, fans sure don't want to wait. As simple as that. And that sometimes comes with a rebuild.
Let's go back to the phone, 615-737-1025. Brad wants to weigh in on David Poile drafting forwards. Brad, welcome in.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hey, well, you know, I want to start off by saying, I have 2 points to make, but I want to start off by saying I've been a hockey fan for 50 years, and I've never seen a team ever trade their way to the Stanley Cup. The only way to get the Stanley Cup is drafting, and unfortunately, in 22 years, Poile has proven that he can draft defensemen and he can draft goaltenders, but he's never been able to draft a single top forward in 22 years. So I'm not sure that we want to go forward using this particular general manager.
Okay.
Well, I think that's ridiculous. Alexander Radulov, in my mind, when he was right, was a top forward. The Predators, you know, routinely, you know, drafted, you know, in the back of the first round. So, you know, it cuts both ways. You know, how about getting, you know, Ryan Suter and Shea Weber and Kevin Klein in one draft? That was pretty good. So, yeah, you know, David hasn't always knocked it out of the park. And they haven't always drafted forwards very much in the first round either. So at least give them a chance to fail. You know, and, you know, some of these guys, they traded away. So I guess, you know, we can sit here and debate. But, no, I mean, David has not drafted a plethora of great forwards, but he has drafted some.
And the jury's still out on Tolvanen and Tomasino. You got to see what those guys are. Yeah. I mean, they certainly get factored into that. Let's go to Brett. Brett, welcome in.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys, 6 second call. I kind of agree a little bit with the previous caller. I mean, you know, we've traded for our top six, it seems like, on offense, or signed him via free agency. But I think that the big difference between trying to build in the draft, and Mark, I think you're right. Like, you know, we haven't really consistently gone after that early in the draft. But, you know, if you're going to be middle of the road, you're going to have middle of the road picks. And you look at places like Chicago at Pittsburgh who have found these generational players. They were in the basement for a long time to get them. And, I mean, obviously, by the end of it, they have an embarrassment of riches. And then they start having cap issues. But, hey, you get a couple cups along the way, and it's a good problem to have. But, you know, I'm kind of torn. I think if you want to rebuild, I think there hasn't been a time in my recent memory as much as there is now that seems like the appropriate time to do it. So, you know, I think between this and weighing in the expansion draft this summer, you know, our team could potentially look radically different next year. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it. And I think there's no doubt about it that it is going to look different. I just believe that is the inevitable with this team and the guys. And it already has. I mean, you think about the moves that were made over the summer, guys that left, you know, that were a part of things. Craig Smith, Nick Bonino, who was a trade, but Craig Smith was a homegrown player, and he left. Austin Watson as
Kevin
well.
Kevin Fiala, you know, Fiala is a good player.
Yeah.
I say that painfully, but, you know, that is definitely the case. Listen, a lot of quirky things have happened to the Predators, you know, in the years in the draft. You know, the year they drafted Seth Jones, they probably would have gotten Shane Monahan, but David couldn't turn down Seth Jones, and understandably so.
Right.
You know, that's the way it works out sometimes.
That was the best player available mentality, and it was the right move at the time. So 1025 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to help you continue the tradition with a hockey homegate party. It's time to text in to the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile hockey homegate. Watch a weekend Preds games with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. So text the word SKATE to 615-737-1025 now to enter SKATE. The winner will be contacted on Thursday. You must be 21 years or older to enter. When we come back, we'll go back to the Titans and what they need to do as they go through the offseason to try and build this team to be even more of a contender starting next season. We'll discuss that when we come back here on Stillman & Company. Chase McKay, Mark Howard in for Jared today on ESPN 102.5 The Game.